Some other scriptures we're going to talk about in just a few moments. And let the Lord just let this sink in, okay? Isaiah said this, and it's really like a song. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me. And all this emphasis is what I've put on it. So it's, you're not going to see that in your Bible, but I put some emphasis on these words, for it's our text. He hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh out himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. You may be seated. Now I'm going to ask you a very personal question. And it might be just a little embarrassing. And you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want, and I really don't want you to. But how many's ever really had a dream that you were standing maybe in school or in the workplace or somewhere and you didn't have any clothes on? Yeah, you were naked. You were buck naked. You know the difference between buck naked and being naked, don't you? See, when you're buck naked, I mean, when you're naked, you can still have your socks on. That's what Jerry Clower said. Anyhow, okay, I'm not going to go there. But I've had this reoccurring dream all my life, to be honest with you. When I was in school, there I was, sitting at my desk, everybody laughing at me. Humiliation. I'm at total ridicule, total humiliation. And then as I've gotten older and gotten into the ministry, there's been times I've had this reoccurring nightmare that I'm in church. And I forgot to put my suit on. Actually, I don't know if I forgot. I just don't know how I got there. But I'm there, man. And y'all are looking at me through this clear glass. And I don't want to go there. But I want you to know it's dehumanizing, to say the least. Dehumanizing. I mean, you just feel like falling into a hole and hiding and never coming out again. As a matter of fact, when they, in the concentration camps, that was the first thing they did, is they took their clothes off to dehumanize them, to treat them like animals, and just to break their will and their spirits, and that was the very first thing that they did. But needless to say, it is embarrassing. Would you say amen? Now, I knew a preacher's name was Brother Welch, and Brother Welch said, and I knew him, he preached and said, "You think you're having a bad day." And he said, "Let me tell you about a day I had." And he was a traveling evangelist as well, and he pulled a travel trailer, and he got real tired, and so he pulled over and told his wife, "I'm going to get in the back, and if you'll drive us on home, I'll sleep." And so he went in the back of the trailer to sleep, and she took off for home, and Brother Welch was back there asleep when something happened, and she had to pull over for something, and he woke up, realized that they were pulled over. He went to the door to see what was going on. About that time, she took off, and he fell out of the travel trailer. True story. And again, I don't want to get your mind working here, but he didn't sleep with any clothes on, I'll put it that way. Yeah, out on the highway. He finally flagged somebody over, and he got in the car, and the guy that pulled him over, he said, "Man, what's going on?" He said, "Man, let me explain myself, you know, what's going on here." And he told him the story, and the guy that was driving the car, taking him home, got so cracked up and laughing that he couldn't control his car, and he was laughing so hard that a policeman pulled him over. True story. I know this brother. And he said the policeman come up there, and then they told him the story of what was going on, and the policeman believed them. I mean, there he is. And so he said, "Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll take him home." And so he got in the car with the policeman, and they drove home. Well, as they were going, Brother Welch said, "Hey, I know a shortcut to get us home a little quicker. Can't take the travel trailer that way, but we can drive your police car." And so they took a little shortcut, and would you believe they beat his wife home? And so the policeman let him out. And he's standing there, and as the policeman left, he's waiting on his wife. About that time, his wife pulls up with the travel trailer and the truck, thinking that he's in the back of the trailer, all right? And looks up in the headlights, and there is her husband, stark naked, and she didn't know what to do, and she just drove the truck and trailer into the garage. Okay. And then he said, you think you had a bad day? That's a bad day. Amen? But the point is that, you know, when we think of these things, it is dehumanizing. But can you imagine standing before God? I mean, absolutely standing before God. Do you know when you stand before God, you will be completely naked. And I mean, he'll see you inside and out. He'll see you, and he knows you, and he knows exactly what you've done, what you've said, every word that's ever you've ever spoken, every hair that was in your head, and every hair that's on your head right now. He knows it all. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to be able to preach. Well, I'd just kill y'all if I could only preach 20 minutes, wouldn't it? Man, y'all wouldn't know what to do with me. Well, don't get too excited. I'm struggling here. But really, when we stand before the Lord, we'll be uncovered. We'll be naked. And I just want to say, you know, we're celebrating the Christmas season. That's what Christ came for. He came that we might be clothed. Christ came to clothe us and to cover us and to forgive us. And that we might be clothed in what Isaiah said, in garments of righteousness, in a cloak of righteousness. I think that's what Paul meant when he was speaking to the Romans in Romans chapter 13. He said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, without Jesus Christ, you stand before God naked, and he sees right through you, and he sees right through all of us. There's no way to hide. There's nothing you can do to have an excuse. You have no excuse. There's nothing you can say. Anybody ever heard excuses? I mean, seriously, I've heard them all. Somebody stole my fingerprints. That's why my fingerprints were at the crime scene. I've heard it all, man. But the truth is, when you stand before God, no excuses, you'll be completely naked. That's why he said, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus talking about the wedding. And he said that outside the wedding in Matthew chapter 22 was a group of folks that didn't have a wedding garment on. They didn't have a wedding garment. And they didn't have, because they didn't have a wedding garment, they couldn't come into the wedding. So what's that tell me? If I'm going to come into the wedding, if I'm going to go to heaven, if you really want to spiritualize it, if I'm going to be right and ready to enter into eternal life, then I must have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I must be clothed in his righteousness. Because you see, here's the deal, and understand this, Jesus invites us to the wedding. Not only does he invite us to the wedding, but he is the wedding. He is the banquet. He is the wedding garment. He's the groom. I mean, he's everything. That's why the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I got everything I need in him. Everything I want, everything I need is in him. And so I have learned in life that you got to go through life covered. Because if you're not covered, you're not going to make it. Now, not only does Jesus cover us, but he also wraps us all up in salvation in this life. And you know what it does also? It shields us from the storm. It doesn't exempt us from the storm, but it shields us from the storm. What's that mean? See, there's protection. Protection. I don't care what you go through, you're still protected. It's like somebody said, you know, they told me one time, they said, you joke too much. I said, you don't know how much I hold back. If you really knew how much I held back, you would really realize I'm not joking that much. Lord, my mom. And if you really knew, I mean really, really knew what it would be like without the protection of God, then I got news for you. You would see that you are protected. I didn't say exempt. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have situations. But thank God we're clothed and protected. We're clothed and protected. I mean, that's what Paul had in mind in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he gives a litany of things that love is. One is love covers. Love covers. And the root word has the meaning to cover or to conceal. And as a word picture, kind of like in time of a storm, how a mother or father would cover up their children, get on top of them. Just recently, we've seen some terroristic acts, and we've seen some explosions, and the deal in Las Vegas. There was a lot of people covering their wives and covering their girlfriends, and thank God for a couple girlfriends that covered their boyfriend. But anyhow, just kidding. See, there you go. But seriously, why? Because love covers. Love covers, and that's what Paul is saying here, that love covers, and God's love covers us. So he not only clothes us, but he covers us. You're covered. I said, you're covered. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and 8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. So if God commands us to love and to cover each other, a brother, a sister in love, then how much more does God cover us? You ever think about that? I mean, you go through life thinking, does God love me? Does God hate me? I messed up and I made a mistake. Well, join the club. Thank God. You're welcome in on my club, okay? The rest of y'all can go home. Because you're too perfect for me. I'm going to preach to these folks over here. They need it over here. Amen. Just kidding. But seriously, if you say, I if you go through with that complex wondering, does God love me? He loves you. He covers you. And if he asks us to cover each other, and a love covers the multitude of sin, then how much more does he cover us? How much more does he? He's a supernatural tailor. Did you ever think about that? But you never thought of God as a clother. Where do you get your clothes at? I'm talking about looking at some of y'all getting them at Walmart. That's all right. Amen. I got lots of pajamas at Walmart. Dirty pajamas. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Well, don't go to Walmart in your pajamas, okay? Especially with a big LifePoint shirt on, y'all. LifePoint Church. I belong to LifePoint Church. Well, get some pants on, okay? Don't embarrass us like that. But where, I don't know where you get your clothes at. Maybe you wait and get a sale at Dillard's. You get them at Jacques Penney. That's French for J.C. Penney. Jean Penet. I don't know, but it doesn't really matter. Because you see, I thought about this. You know, all the people that have clothing stores, they owe all of their sustenance and all of their living to Adam and Eve. Amen. The world owes its existence to Adam and Eve. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, I'm not going to go there as far as on the PowerPoint, but back in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible said they sinned, and what happened? Well, the minute they sinned, the Bible said their eyes were open, and they saw that they were naked. And what did they do? They went and, first of all, they sewed fig leaves. Why? Because they needed to get covered quickly. There was something about it. I don't know what it was, but in the garden before sin, they didn't have to be covered. I guess there was some kind of Shekinah glory around them. The Bible doesn't say, so I can only speculate. But I know one thing: there was no shame in it, and there was no dehumanizing in it. It was just simply perfect, and they were covered. But the minute they sinned, the covering was gone. They sewed themselves some fig leaves. You said, "Wait a minute! I thought you said that they clothed themselves with fig leaves, and you said that only God can cover us." Well, that's the point. They did sow themselves some fig leaves. They went and hid themselves, and God found them out. See, you can run, but you can't hide. And don't make a mistake of thinking where God said, "Where are you, Adam?" He knew exactly where Adam was. He was asking Adam a rhetorical question because he was saying, "Adam, where are you?" And it's more to it than where are you positionally on the GPS, but where are you spiritually? They're hid. See, sin always tries to hide. And always tries to cover themselves. You see, that's the very point. Fig leaves are a type of religion, and you can't cover yourself. And that's man's attempt to cover himself. Religion. See, your religion will get you nowhere. Little things you do, the incantations and all the beads and, you know, all the things that people do, and they say this is religious. That gets you nowhere. Gets you nowhere quick. It will not save you. That's only sowing yourself some fig leaves. You see, only Jesus Christ can cover your sin. You can't do it because God. It's a God thing. You understand what I'm saying? It's a God thing. And you know, I want you to know, you're not God and I'm not God. So we can't cover ourselves. Only God can. Now, before, again, they sinned, they didn't need it. But now they do. You see, they couldn't get clothes on fast enough. Most of them, whoa, get some fig leaves. Man, they went to sewing some fig leaves together, putting on. I mean, they couldn't get it on fast enough because, man, they were ashamed. And they craved the protection. There's something about that, that's what clothing is. Clothing is a protection, and it's a protection from the elements. It's a protection from the shame. And so his covering clothes us with protection and takes away the shame. Did you hear me? So it doesn't matter what your past is. If you got a bad past, I'm saying, man, you don't know how sordid my past is. It doesn't matter. It's not your past I'm worried about. It's your now and your future that I'm worried about. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times to people, it's not what you did yesterday that matters. It's what you do today that counts. And so, you got a past, but you know what? These guys had a past, and still Jesus took away their shame. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and 21. Let's look at that real quick. Right there. Well, never mind. Here it is. Unto Adam also, to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Notice here. I want you to see something. This is not just semantics. This is the honest truth. He clothed them. He clothed them. Now, here's the mystery behind the words. First of all, God slayed an animal for the first time in history. Up at this point, nothing was dead. Nothing. I mean, everything was alive. Nothing was dead. But for the first time, dirt was stained with blood. And so God slayed an animal. And innocent blood was on the ground. Why? Because, you see, the animal didn't commit the sin. Adam and Eve committed the sin. The animal didn't deserve to die. Adam and Eve deserved to die. So, who was Jesus? He was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. And he came into this world. And he walked where we walked, and he went where we went, and he slept where we slept, and he ate what we ate, but he didn't sin like we sin. And he was perfect without sin. And you know what? He went as a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't deserve to die, but we did. Somebody say amen. We did. He was innocent. He was guiltless. We were the guilty, and yet he took our place. And so when you look at the cross, he's living your life as though it were your life when you look at the cross. And then when you look at the Christian, you're living his life as though it was his life. And remember, just a few weeks ago, I talked about that, what that meant, that it's changing hearts. It's changing places. And he took our place. He took our place. You see, when he does that, all of a sudden he becomes the sin. And all the sins placed on him. That's the good news of the gospel. I mean, that's just simply it. What is the gospel in a nutshell? I tell you, it's Jesus came, he died, he was buried, he resurrected on the third day, and he's coming again. That's the gospel. That's it. You say, how's that good news? Because when we're born in the world, we're all born sinners. And we all have the judgment of God on our lives. And we're all, you know, you can say what you want to say. Say, man, there's some bad guys over there and some bad girls over there. Let me tell you something. We're all bad. Our destiny is eternity without God. We're all born into sin. There's no way to escape it. There's no way to hide it because of the fall of man. But I want you to know something. The innocent came to die for the guilty. Jesus Christ. That's the story of Christmas. Matter of fact, I thought about preaching on the ugliness of Christmas, but I didn't want to knock you completely out of the chair this morning. But there is an ugly side to Christmas. I know we like to talk about the shop till you drop and all the good things, the lights and the tinsel and the trees, but the ugly side of Christmas is he didn't come to be a baby in a manger. He came to be a Christ on a cross. And the dirty side of and the ugly side of Christmas is he came to die for sinners. That's what it's all about. Now I want you to see in the second instance, God dressed them in the garden. He dressed them. He drove them out of the garden and into a very hostile environment. See, in that environment, nobody caught any colds. Praise God. In that environment, everything was perfect. Did they have mosquitoes? They probably had mosquitoes. They probably ran the They probably ran the massage parlor, you know, they give you a massage. And probably had chiggers too. They probably scratch your back when you need an itch, you know. Got an itch right there, they'd scratch your back. I'm telling you, everything was perfect. Everything. No problems. No headaches. No big boss on the job looking down on you. Oh, it's a perfect environment. But now they were driven into a wilderness. And guess what? I want you to know we're still in that wilderness. Did you know that? We thank God I live in America. Can you say amen? But still yet we're in that wilderness right now. And thank God we've learned to cool ourselves in the summer and heat ourselves in the winter. We've learned to build ourselves some structures, and we can get in and out of the rain. If you've got enough sense, you can get in and out of the rain. But the truth is, we're still in the wilderness. And so, you know, to think that, you know, we're exempt from the wilderness because we get saved. No, we're still in the wilderness, and God still clothes us. And guess what? He still cleanses us and clothes us, and he still protects us, because when God drove them out of the wilderness, he knew it was going to be cold out there. He knew that it was going to be rugged out there. He knew there's going to be thorns and thistles and going to be stickers and going to be chiggers and mosquitoes on the biting side. And you know what? Fig leaves just weren't going to cut it. He didn't just throw their, you know, their garments at their feet there and say, here, put them on. Try them on. See if you like them. She tries it on and says, you know, God, that's okay, but could you take a little out of the waist here, Lord? It's, huh? You know, this is okay, Lord, but, you know, this is just really not my color. You better thank God for what it gives you. Can you say amen? Don't be like that. But the fact is, he didn't just throw a new garment at their feet and say, y'all try them on. No, the Bible said he clothed them. I'm still on that. He clothed them. So there you have it. He dresses us himself. Get it? I want you to get this. He dresses us himself. And guess what? He dresses us with himself. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, what about the armor of God? Well, that's the point. The armor of God, everything the armor of God is Jesus Christ. He is hope. He's faith. He's the sword of the Spirit. You name anything about the armor of God, and you can put Jesus in his place. So when you put on the armor of God, guess what? You're doing what Paul said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your defense. He's your offense and your defense. And he protects you. So he dresses us himself, and he dresses us with himself. With himself. Do I have another scripture here? Not sure. No, go back. I'll get to that in a minute. No, that is right. That is right. Way too much NyQuil. I'm sorry. Way too much NyQuil. I thought the caffeine would kick in, but it hadn't kicked in yet. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. With Christ. You see, that's the point. He clothes us with himself. The clothing is his work, not ours. The clothing is his job, not ours. What did Adam and Eve do? What did they do? They sinned. That's all they did. They sinned. They did nothing except sin. It was God that clothed them. You see, they didn't ask for a sacrifice. They didn't ask. They didn't even think about a sacrifice. I mean, why would they even think about it? They didn't know what was going on there. They just know they sinned. They weren't asking God to dress them. I mean, they just thought they could get away with these fig leaves and hide away from God. And so they weren't looking. They were very passive in the process. But I want you to know, he clothed them. And that's what the New Testament says, that we clothe with Jesus Christ. And that's what, when we're sons of God and daughters of God and we're in the family of God, we're heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we belong to the family of God. Guess what? We are clothed in Jesus Christ. That's why you don't have to go through life with your head hung down. That's why you don't have to go through life saying, you know, well, I got a bad past. Well, guess what? The cross took your past away and clothed you in robes of righteousness. Say, well, you know, I've had some problems since then. That's all right. Again, you're not the Lone Ranger. You're clothed in robes of righteousness. You say you believe in eternal security? I believe in eternal security. I don't believe in unconditional eternal security. You can take the cloth off anytime you want. You'd be a fool to do it. Adam and Eve could have said, no, God, I don't want these clothes. I like my fig leaves. So I said, it's a little cooler. Your fig leaves are a little cooler, and it's hot out there. I'm going to wear fig leaves, God. Well, guess what? They'd been doomed. And you have a free will, too. But you'd be a fool. Clothe yourself with Christ. Clothe yourself with Christ. See, we hide, he seeks. We sin, he sacrifices. We sow fig leaves, he brings robes of righteousness. And then we're left to sing the song of the prophet. Give me another scripture here. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. There it is. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now there, my friend, is a prescription. Somebody said, what is the prescription? Well, we're saved by grace, through faith, unto good works. By, through, unto. By, through, unto. Get it? By grace, through faith, unto good works. And that's why James and Paul, they do not have opposite views here. Because James said, you show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. What's he saying? Exactly what Paul's saying here. We're saved by grace through faith unto good works. If you get saved, guess what? You're going to have some good works. You're going to be changed. There's going to be a difference in your life. You're not going to be like you used to be and want to do the things you used to do. Not saying you don't have that old carnal person down inside that wants to get down and party, amen, and do all those things everybody else does. But I'm telling you, the closer you get to God, the more he takes the want-to out of your life. And when he takes the want-to out of your life, you don't want to do those things anymore because you're saved by grace, through faith, unto good works, you know. All of a sudden, you start doing what you're supposed to do. Amen. And then your wife says, I thought you was a Christian. Why are you acting like that? Well, it's because I've still got that carnal man inside. Forgive me. You're supposed to be a Christian too, baby. I'm not talking about my wife, okay? I'm just in the second person here. Me and my wife have a perfect relationship. We've never had an argument. She's going to take a drink on that one. Yeah. We've had a few moments of intense fellowship, but we've never had an argument. That's a joke. That's a joke. I think I better get a drink on that one. Here's the deal. I tell you, no drinking in the service. And I was also going to tell you, if you're sick, don't come to church. Brother Charles here? Is he here? Oh, well, he's not here today. We're clothed with him. We're clothed in him. Give me Isaiah. This is the song, and I'm about to close. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. This is our text. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. That's what the Lord has done. We used to sing that song, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. I'm sick. Give me a break. I can sing better than that. Maybe I can't. But anyhow, I can try more, but I'm saying, when you look what the Lord has done, it's not what you have done, it's not what I have done. And I know this is elementary, this is simple. I mean, this is real simple, and that's okay, because I'm just kind of a simple guy. But you know, sometimes we make things so complex, and I just want you to know that the fact is that we can have joy in knowing that we're saved. You can have joy in knowing that you're born again. And you know, in the Pentecostal church for years, we've kind of put this guilt trip on everybody that if you thought a wrong thought, or you said a wrong word, or you know, something in your life happened, you know, you got mad and traffic and just, you know, just kind of forgot that you was a Christian, and you don't act like you never acted like that. If Jesus was to come, you wouldn't go. I don't believe that. We're covered. Got you covered. Because if I was to follow anybody around all day long, I guarantee you I'd find something in you too. Amen. Because the problem is we can't always see our sin, but we see everybody else's. That's why we're eager to pluck everybody else's little speck out of their eye when we got that big old beam in our eye. I'm just saying. We have a reason to rejoice. Now then, let me conclude here. This is getting down to the crux of the matter right here. This is some application. Now this is what God's done for us. This is what Christ did for us. He clothed us. He covered us, and he's decked us out, and we rejoice because of it. See, when I come to church, whether I'm sick or whether I'm not sick, I still raise my hands. I still praise God, whether I feel it, whether I don't feel it. You know why? Because I'm clothed, amen, and I'm covered, and I've been decked out in the robes of righteousness, and so I've got something to shout about. Even on my worst day, I've still got something to shout about. I can still get happy going down the road. I can still be encouraged even when everything else is against me, because I know he's for me, and if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen? And I don't mean that old fake stuff, you know. Yeah, I've talked about it before. Boy, that stuff gets on my nerves. These old fake Christians. Don't look around right now. I knew a preacher's wife used to be like that every time something bad would happen. Oh, God. Praise the Lord. Build the side of the road with three flat tires. Glory to Jesus. Negative. I mean, you should praise God, don't get me wrong, but you're not going to have that kind of attitude if you're a human being. I mean, if you're that perfect, you need to get your walking papers and get on up out of here, okay? Hello? You're like Enoch. You do take a walk with God and leave, okay? Because the rest of us aren't going to act like that. I'm on the side of the road with three flat tires. I'm going to be a little upset. Amen. If my neighbor's dog barks all through the night, it's going to make me mad. Thank you. It's your dog, but anyhow. I'm just saying, not this old fake saying, well, praise God, I was up all last night. My neighbor's dog barked all night. Glory to Jesus. That's fake. Now, how to get off on that, I do not know. I'm in the land of NyQuil right now. I'm just kidding. Seriously. But we'd still rejoice. We still have peace. Here it is. God's done this for us. Christ has done this for us. Clothed us, cleansed us, covered us, and he wrapped us in his garments. Would you like to do that for him? You see, that's what Paul said. I'm apprehended, and I'm trying to get that which apprehended me, I've been trying to apprehend ever since. In other words, what caught me, I'm trying to catch it. God caught me many years ago and apprehended me and turned my life around. And from that day to this, I've been chasing him. He chased me and found me. I didn't find him, but he found me. And from that day to this, I've been chasing after him. That which apprehended me, now I'm trying to apprehend him. So here's the deal. Would you like to wrap him up? Would you like to cover him up? I mean, what if you were given the privilege of Mary? What if God himself was placed in your arms as a naked baby? Do I have another scripture here? Yeah. She brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And the baby Jesus was wet from the womb. He was cold from the chill. What does she do? She does what love does. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She covered him. See what I'm saying? She did what love does. She covered him. And 33 years later, another lover of Christ did the same. This time his body wasn't cold from the chill. It's cold from death. Give me one more scripture. Matthew chapter 27. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. See, the same motivation. The motivation was that she covered him because of love, and Joseph of Arimathea covered him because of love. You see, Mary prepared him for life, and Joseph of Arimathea prepared him for death. Mary wrapped him for the days ahead, but Joseph of Arimathea was wrapping him for his burial. But the motivation was still the same. It was all done out of love. And the trueness of this gospel is this: when God apprehends you and saves you and wraps you and clothes you and cleanses you, guess what? You'll spend the rest of your life trying to wrap him and praise him and worship him. And it's all about him. And it's all about him. Somebody say amen. It's not about me. It's about him. Because he wrapped me. I'm trying to wrap him. I'm trying to clothe him. You say, well, I how could I do that? Well, wouldn't you cherish the thought of doing the same? And let me tell you something. Come back. Let me tell you something. We have opportunities around us every day. This is the real practical side of it right here. Give me one more scripture. I have one more here. Matthew chapter 25. And I know the context of the scripture. We taught this in the Revelation class, but still yet the principle's there. Naked, you clothed me. Naked, you clothed me, Jesus said. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Huh. What a deal. Do you know somebody you can clothe with a cloak of love? I don't feel like I'm lighting any fires this morning, but you know what? If you get this, maybe it'll change your Christmas attitude. It could change your life. There's people all around us. There's opportunities every day. Because every day you live, somebody needs your protection. Somebody needs your love. Somebody needs your understanding. I mean, on the practical side, why don't you pay somebody, you know, some elder in a couple's gas bill, they're struggling, all they have is Social Security, and you got lots of money, and you don't know what to do with it. Well, I'd tell you what to do with it. Be a giver. Pay a bill. Help them out. Find a young couple that's struggling in marriage, and you know, and you know how I feel. If a man don't work, a man don't eat. I'm not talking about the loafers. I'm not talking about the people that stand there. They have perfectly good bodies and can work jobs, and they won't work jobs. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about real struggling young people. How many was ever young and married? Still am, praise God. But you remember what it was like? I lost a $100 bill one time when we was at the old church, and I don't know where I lost it at. Man, I've cried about it ever since. It's been 10 or more years now. Kind of cheap. You know, I'm 1% Jew. You knew that, right? And I called my brother up and I said, hey, Tim, I said, man, I lost a $100 bill. And I'm the preacher. I'm the theologian. Yeah, I wouldn't call myself a theologian. I'm the one who studies theology. And my brother said, hey, guy, you know what? You ever thought maybe somebody needed it worse than you did? No, I hadn't thought about that. He said, let me tell you a story. He said, when we first got married, me and Shelly, which he's still married after 35 years, almost 40 years, actually. But when they first got married, had their first child, the only child they had, he was a little baby, then they were struggling. He said, man, we were struggling. I had just enough money to go get TJ, that's my nephew, some milk. And he said, when I got to the grocery store, I got out of the car and I looked down on the ground and there was $60. Now this would have been back in about in the mid-80s. $60 is worth more than $60 now, but he said, man, it was like $1 million to me. He said, I picked it up, there was nobody around. And he said, I went in there and I bought stuff and I came home with stuff and everybody was happy and it helped us. He said, maybe there was a young couple somewhere that needed worse than you did and God just let it come out of your pocket for that reason. And I said, get thee behind me. No, I'm kidding. I said, you're right, Tim. Because young couples, they do struggle. Fill them up with some gas sometimes. Feed a homeless person. Hug a hurting person. Give to the Salvation Army when you go in to the Walmart. All they ask for is a little change. Love a teenager that doesn't have a family. Look around you a little bit. There are 1,000 ways that you could clothe Christ. That's what he's done for you. He told the story of the Good Samaritan. Nobody else helped him. But the Samaritan got down in the ditch, got him out, helped him, and he said, then go ye and do likewise. That's unto good works there. We're saved by grace through faith There's the unto good works right there. Those things don't save us. No, absolutely don't save us. We're not saved by those things, but we do those things because we are saved. Because we are saved. Did you ever think about giving a struggling waitress a little bigger tip than just $5? You say, $5? I don't give that, man. I give only $3. Well, you cheapskate. They're working for less than minimum wage. I'm just telling us, people around us, every day. Remember, this is Christmas. And if you do it for someone, Christ said, you do it unto me. And that's not to blow your horn. That's not to get up here in church and say, you know, I want to tell you what I did. I gave $100 to somebody. Well, you just lost your reward. Amen. See, that's the trouble. He wants you to give it. Nobody knows. And if you give it, I won't tell anybody you gave it either. I'm kidding. But seriously, there's a lot of people that need our help. So give to the Lord, okay? It's not just money. It's other ways too. Let's clothe people. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Sister Connie, let's keep putting shoes on their feet every fall. You say, well, we don't get nothing out of that. Oh, yeah, we do. We're doing it under Christ. So you're going to get something out of it. Somebody say amen. You know, it costs us so much money. It'll cost us a whole lot more if we don't reach out to this community that we're in. So do it unto Christ, because when you do it unto others, you do it as unto the Lord. Father, we pray today.